Chapter 1. You know, I mused as I watched the witch Naomi pacing around near the main bar of Ada's nightclub. If we'd have met her sooner, we both could have saved, like, hundreds of thousands in renovation fees.
Indeed.
Ada, my dark-haired succubus lover and business partner, agreed.
Though, as I've said a million times before, love, money is of no issue for moi. That's what happens when you've been alive for thousands of years. You wouldn't believe the interest I've accrued on my savings accounts alone.
Still, I said as I looked at the woman, it would have been nice to see how Cincy's jewel would have performed without all the extra money put into it.
The Order of the Lunar God actually did us a favor, Carter.
My girlfriend, Janine, said with a sly grin.
Cincy's jewel might have been popular when you inherited it, but it was a total shithole. I wouldn't have set foot in that place if you paid me.
Come on, Janine.
Leah rolled her blue eyes.
Don't tell me you're too good for a swanky club. That's where the fun happens.
My fun happens in the library.
The redhead crossed her arms and shook her head.
Pfft.
The blonde polywarm scoffed.
Lame. If my friends and I hadn't come out to Ada's fine establishment randomly that one night, we never would have met Carter. Could you imagine what things would be like if Becca, Valerie, and I weren't in the picture?
Love,
Ada said in a scolding tone, and she narrowed her emerald eyes as she spoke.
I love you with all my heart, but don't ever, ever compare my club to the sorry excuse for a business Div was pretending to run. Ever.
Oh.
Leah's blue eyes grew wide, and then she let out an awkward chuckle.
That's not what I was getting at, Ada. Like, at all.
It's fine.
The succubus winked.
Just don't do it again. I'd hate to have to take you up to the bedroom and punish you for your insubordination.
The fuck are you talking about? That sounds right up your alley.
Something would be going up an alley.
Ada purred as she bit her lip.
Come on, guys.
Naomi said with a huff.
I'm trying to concentrate here. This protective hex isn't going to cast itself.
That was a fair observation. The protective hex Naomi had put on Cincy's jewel was a smashing success, and our enemies hadn't even bothered to try and attack us at the lounge since. So, even though we hadn't been attacked in Ada's club yet, we all agreed it would be a wise decision to have Naomi cast the same enchantment here. The OLG probably knew I was in bed with Ada, and it would only be a matter of time before they put two and two together and launched an assault on the place where we actually lived. It had been a relatively peaceful couple of weeks since the defeat of Ichthigo and the Sisters of the New Moon. Naomi was just starting to settle in as a member of our team, and she even took Ada up on the offer to live here on the second floor of the club alongside the rest of us. She might not have been as forward as to share a bed with Janine, Ada, and me, but Naomi still slept in the guest room with Leah and wanted to be actively involved in all of our activities. When she wasn't sitting on the couch, munching on popcorn and devouring hour after hour of horror movies, of course. Honestly, I was starting to understand why Naomi had such a twisted sense of humor and a dark aesthetic. At one point, I walked by and caught her cackling maniacally at the human centipede.
Is the process the same for this place?
Janine asked, as we watched Naomi rub her hands together.
Pretty much. Do you remember how it was done before?
We touch the ground and say some magic words. It wasn't super complicated.
Oh?
Naomi raised an eyebrow and smirked.
I'd love to see you try to cast this spell without my guidance.
Well, I don't know any magic, so...
The blonde polywarm shrugged.
And do you remember the order we must go in?
Naomi pushed Leah a bit further.
In order for the incantation to work?
I think so.
Leah said, as she looked up to the ceiling. But then she just stared silently before sighing.
Okay, I don't have any idea. You got me there.
Aren't you a solid A student, love?
Ada tisked.
You should be good at paying attention and retaining information by now.
I'm more of a solid B student. And I didn't think I'd ever need to know spells, considering I can't do magic at all.
Sure you can,
Naomi said, as she stepped into the center of the room and then got down on one knee.
I wasn't born a witch, you know. Anybody can harness magic if they have the right teachers and worship the correct gods. Now, Ada and Janine, if you will.
The succubus and changeling both walked over next to Naomi and then got down on all fours with their palms flat against the ground. Janine's hands started to glow bright with her yellow enchantment, while Naomi's echoed with a silver shimmer of their own. We jump in after three chants, right?
Only after we have said it three times, and only then.
The witch reaffirmed with a nod.
Now, ladies, repeat after me.
Naomi recited the incantation once, and then Ada and Janine repeated her words. As they did so, a series of black tendrils appeared underneath their hands and then started to spiderweb out across the floor. When Leah and I hopped in and started to repeat the spell, the dark tendrils nearly tripled in size and started to extend upwards along the walls, windows, furniture, and eventually the ceiling of the club. The five of us continued to repeat the incantation over and over again for nearly an hour, until Naomi finally gave us the signal to stop, and the second we ceased talking, the tendrils disappeared.
Ugh, what gives?
Janine asked in a hoarse voice, and then she cleared her throat loudly.
Last time we only had to chant for 45 minutes.
We had to go longer this time because my powers are getting weaker.
So it takes a little longer to cast any major spells?
Your powers are weakening. Why?
Because that's what happens when a witch leaves her coven,
the red and black-haired woman said.
Their powers start to wane because they are no longer in such close proximity to other spellcasters. This is why the Sisters of the New Moon were able to harness such powerful spells, because their magic built off each other. Obviously, when a spellcaster is no longer surrounded by this combined power, her own abilities begin to fade. In fact, they started to fade the second I left that cemetery with you.
Really? You still seemed pretty damn powerful to me.
Remember how I was able to summon a perfect duplicate of a snake, Carter? The one that almost bit you?
When you were prepping me for my ritual sacrifice. Yeah, I definitely remember that.
Well, you may have noticed I haven't used that ability since.
The witch continued with a sigh.
It's because I cannot. The only things I've been able to do since leaving the Sisters of the New Moon are some minor telekinesis spells, as well as the ones that are more ritualistic and require no specified power level.
Damn. I frowned. I didn't know that, Naomi. Why didn't you tell us sooner?
I didn't want you to kick me to the curb.
The witch muttered and lowered her head.
I thought if you knew my powers were starting to become weaker, you wouldn't want me as part of your team.
Naomi. I shook my head. I don't give a shit if you have powers or not. I mean, yeah, it's been really helpful, but it's not like it's a deal-breaker or anything. I mean, hell, Paul and Tony are both important members of the team, and they're just two normal dudes.
One has a giant-ass gun, and the other has muscles the size of my head. Other than that, they're totally normal.
I don't know what you're worried about, love.
Ada shrugged.
The fact of the matter is you do have powers, and you've already pulled your weight more than you could possibly imagine.
Besides, I continued, we're not going to just sit around and let you get weaker and weaker until you lose all your powers.
I won't lose them completely. I'll just never be able to do much more than basic telekinesis and whatever complicated spells I can scrounge out of those books you have in your library.
Okay, I said with a shrug. Then we'll help you get back to your former power level.
How are you going to do that?
The witch scoffed as she narrowed her dark eyes at me.
All of my former coven sisters are dead, and I don't really think it's a good idea to try and recruit people to rebuild the Sisters of the New Moon. That organization is dead and buried, and it's for the best.
We don't need any of that. I smiled, and then I gestured over to Ada, Leah, and Janine. We have our own miniature coven right here. Leah chuckled nervously.
I don't know magic, remember?
I know that. I nodded. But didn't you hear Naomi? Anyone can learn with enough practice. Naomi frowned before she pointed back and forth between Ada and Janine.
These two have said they are both novices, and Leia doesn't have any magic experience whatsoever. That hardly makes a coven, Carter.
Not right now, but you can train them, right?
It's a bit more complicated than that.
The witch laughed, and then she walked over and leaned nonchalantly on a nearby bar stool.
Janine and Ada both have magic in their DNA, so they will simply require a bit of coaching. As for our polywarm friend, though, her species isn't so magically inclined. The only way she can gain abilities is to find an ancient deity and dedicate her life to them.
And how does one even go about doing that?
You need magic users to cast a metacommunication spell.
Naomi explained.
Hence why most human spellcasters can only be granted magic with the help of other spellcasters.
Is that something you can do? I raised an eyebrow. Because if all four of you had magical abilities, that would kick major ass.
I can try,
the witch said, as her nose crinkled.
Though I'm not sure we currently have the proper level of spellcasting ability to make it work. The metacommunication enchantment is fairly simple, and I did it with the Sisters of the New Moon so many times it is burned into my brain. There's only one problem I can think of.
What's that?
Leah asked.
My powers were given to me by one of the moon gods of the ancient days. But you now serve a bastard of Bast, a.k.a. one of the most hated creatures in terms of the moon gods. Sorry, Carter, but that's what most other cultists know you as.
No offense taken. Could Leah get her powers from Bast, then? That would make way more sense.
If she was a regular human or a werepanther, sure. But I worry about whether or not Bast would accept Leah as her own. Having her try to contact Kek or Heket would be wiser, as they're the frog gods of the ancient times.
What powers would I get from them?
Leah asked as she leaned forward.
I've already got the same abilities as most amphibious creatures.
I do not know.
Naomi shrugged.
Both of those gods are associated with rebirth, fertility, and water, so I'd imagine it'd be something to do with those.
Perhaps Leah will be able to use her magic to give us all triplets.
I'm not having any kids anytime soon.
Janine rolled her chocolate brown eyes behind her glasses.
The pills worked for me thus far.
Same here,
Leah said with a smirk.
IUDs are a miracle device.
We'll see about that, loves.
Ada winked.
Neither of you have ever experienced the potent semen of a werepanther before. Even now, I can feel Carter's wonderful, powerful seed festering inside of me.
Do you have to put it like that? I shuddered. Makes it sound like I implanted a parasite in you or something.
I'm simply speaking the truth.
The succubus shrugged and then patted her belly.
Any day now, the labors of our love will begin to show itself.
Let's hope so. I smiled at my lover before I turned my attention back to Naomi. Okay, so what do we need to do to make your new coven? Do you want me to run back to Cincy's Jewel and grab a couple of spellbooks to use?
We'll get there eventually. I think if we go that route, I'd like to just start off with some of the simple spells I remember off the top of my head. The last thing I need is to get in too deep myself and then royally fuck something up.
So, is that a yes?
Janine asked with a half smirk.
Because I would love to get a better harness on my own powers.
I've already got a good harness on mine.
Ada noted.
In fact, my magical abilities often lead people to end up in some good harnesses. Good, tight leather harnesses.
I'll do my best to build up your powers.
Naomi crossed her arms and nodded.
It's in our best interests, after all. Also, it's not like we have much else going on right now.
Oh, don't say that. I groaned and clicked my tongue. Please, don't jinx us. My body is still recovering from the fight with that horrific Ichthigo creature.
Really?
Leah asked.
I thought you healed automatically.
Not automatically. Carter's two forms won't share injuries, but they still need time to heal themselves individually.
Plus, I think that's only for major wounds. What I'm feeling is a bunch of aches and pains all throughout my back and sides.
That's just called getting older, love.
Ada said with a snort.
You are in your early 20s, after all.
Oh, yes. It all goes downhill after 25, I'm afraid. You get aches and pains in places you didn't even know existed, and I can't imagine a life of fighting paranormal creatures is going to make that any better.
Oh, great. I rolled my eyes. So I guess I have that to look forward to. Anyways, where should we start? Do you want to try to do the metacommunication spell with Leah and see where it takes her?
If she's willing.
Naomi said, as she looked over at the blonde woman.
A god will only bestow their powers onto somebody who truly believes in them, and who wishes to offer themselves into their god's service.
If it lets me get magic powers, I'll believe in anything they want.
All right, then.
Naomi said, as she stood from her lean and then started toward the center of the room.
Follow me. Everybody else, gather around her in a circle.
We all followed Naomi and Leah to the center of the club's dance floor, and then made a tiny little circle around Leah's figure.
Is this the part where we start chanting?
Ada asked, but Naomi just shook her head.
This is the part where we join hands and begin to send our positive auras to Leah. She's the one who must pray to the gods. We simply lend her our magic so she can do so. Now, Leah, I will say a few words to get the ball rolling, and then I need you to start praying.
Praying to which one? And what the fuck do I even say? I've never been super religious or anything.
Just pick one and do the typical generic prayer stuff. You know, talk about how you wish to serve them and how you dedicate and humble yourself before them and all that shit. And tell them how great they are. Gods seem to love that.
Are you ready?
Naomi asked, and the blonde gave her a stern nod.
Then let us begin. Everyone, start to channel your auras into Leah.
Auras? I was starting to feel like I was in a frickin' New Age sauna or some shit like that. But I obliged the witch anyway, as I closed my eyes, shifted my weight back and forth on my feet, and then started to think about how I could help Leah get her enchantment.
Ooh, I can feel the auras already.
The polyworm snickered.
You joke. But they're all doing great so far. Now, let us begin. Oh, ancient ones, hear my cry. We bring before you Leah... Leah...
Nash.
Leah whispered.
Leah Nash.
The witch corrected herself.
We bring before you Leah Nash, a beautiful member of your creation who has seen the error of her ways and wishes to pledge herself into your service. Hear her now, O mighty gods.
There was a moment of silence before Leah finally cleared her throat and began to speak.
Hi?
The blonde woman said with a hint of nervousness.
Heket? I know we haven't talked in a while, well, ever. We haven't talked ever. But I wanted to just reach out and say I think it's time for me to rekindle my more spiritual side, and I want it to be with the god who was responsible for my creation.
That's it,
Naomi whispered with a nod.
Keep it up.
I humble myself before you, great Heket.
The blonde continued.
I am nowhere near worthy of your powers, but I wish to offer myself into a life of service to your grace, and I hope I may do your bidding here on earth. I wish that...
Before Leah could finish her sentence, her head suddenly whipped back, and her face arched toward the ceiling. Then her arms and legs spread out as her bright blue eyes started to literally glow with an azure shimmer. And the polywarm woman went silent as her body began to float.
What the fuck?
I heard Janine hiss.
She is conversing with Heket.
Naomi smiled.
I believe the spell is working.
You sure about that? Because it kind of looks like she's caught in Pennywise's deadlights.
That isn't too far from the truth. Leah is in a trance right now that allows her to literally speak with the deity she wishes to commune with.
We all watched curiously as Leah floated there, eyes aglow, for several more minutes. The blonde woman's body looked like it was being held up by a bunch of invisible marionette strings, and she was completely rigid as she hung there in the air. Finally, she let out a gasp that echoed across the dance floor, and then she collapsed down onto all fours.
What the fuck?
Leah sputtered as she panted heavily.
Did you talk to her?
Naomi asked, as a smile twisted up her dark lips.
Did you speak to Heket?
Yeah.
The blonde woman's blue eyes were as wide as saucers as she looked around frantically.
I think I did. It was like a fucking dream, Naomi.
I understand.
The witch nodded.
I'm still not sure if we actually converse with the gods or if it is simply a hallucination brought on by the spell itself. Either way, it is a surreal experience.
What was it like? I asked, as I leaned forward and helped the blonde to her feet. What did Heket look like?
It was surreal.
Leah shuddered.
Her body appeared human, and she wore a white tunic like you'd see in those ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. But her neck was super wide, and she had a green frog's head with bulging, wide-set eyes and a circular snout. You want to know the weirdest part, though? Her pupils and irises were like a human's.
That is pretty weird. I frowned. What did she say to you?
It's hard to explain. It's like she was talking to me, but it was all inside of my head, and I felt like a freaking ghost.
It's a metaphysical communication, love. You pretty much were a ghost.
Heket just told me she accepted my offer to serve her, and that she would graciously await the wonderful things I was going to do.
Leah continued.
Then my arms started to glow with a blue sheen. Not like when Naomi or Janine use their magic, where it looks like a little cloud of light, but like my skin turned blue, as if it had lost all its blood.
Fascinating.
Naomi smiled.
I've never heard of that happening before.
Did she tell you why your arms were shimmering blue?
Her explanation was nebulous. Something about how she'd blessed me with her ancient spell, and how I now bore the aquatic curse in addition to my current abilities.
Aquatic curse? I trailed off. So, I'm guessing that's something to do with water, then?
Would it be? I wouldn't think a new ability would be considered a curse.
You're dealing with the occult,
Ada said.
Everything is considered a curse, even if it's beneficial.
I suppose the only way I'm going to find out is through hypothesis testing.
The blonde biology student smirked.
Shall we go out and try to find a lake?
No need, love.
Ada shook her head before she walked over behind the bar. The succubus proceeded to grab a glass from the other side of the counter and proceeded to clean it off with a rag. Then Ada took it over to the faucet, turned on the water, and filled it up about halfway before she headed back in our direction.
I'm not sure that'll be enough,
Leah said as she looked down at the glass.
For all I know, I may have to be fully submerged for my spell to work.
You're a scientist, I reminded the blonde woman. You of all people should realize you gotta start small and then increase your tests incrementally.
I don't even know how I'm supposed to activate it.
The blonde woman frowned.
Or if I even have powers. I still think that may have just been a fever dream I just had there.
It wasn't.
Naomi promised.
You spoke with a goddess, Leah.
You sound so nonchalant about it.
Of course,
the witch said.
We spellcasters have been doing it for centuries, so it is kind of a common occurrence.
I suppose if all else fails, we can take you up to the showers.
Leah's face turned beet red, though I noticed the corners of her lips twist up into a smile. My cock started to throb in my pants as I thought back to the last time I'd been in the showers when we'd had an incredible and mind-blowing foursome. But I composed myself quickly. There would be plenty of time to recreate that scene later.
Let's just start with this,
Leah said in a hurry before she snatched the glass out of Ada's hand.
Do you have any tips for me, Naomi? Like about how to get it to activate?
There's nothing to it.
Naomi shook her head.
It's kind of like learning how to write or how to ride a bike. It seems tricky at first, but you just tell your body what to do and then make it happen.
That's the problem. I have no idea what to tell my body to do.
Just let the spirit of Heket flow through you.
The witch smirked.
She'll guide you, I promise.
Leah's lips pursed, but she gave the dark-haired woman a grunt and a nod. Then the polywarm took a deep breath and narrowed her eyes as she stared at the liquid in the glass.
Come on,
she muttered to herself.
Do something cool. I know you can hear me, Heket.
Leah stared at the glass so intensely I wondered if anything could possibly break her attention. Then we stood there in silence for about 5 minutes, before finally I noticed the polyworm's skin was beginning to change color.
You're doing it! Leah, your skin's turning blue!
However, the blonde woman didn't respond. She continued to glare at the water in her cup as the flesh on her arms shifted from a soft peach tone to something that made Aladdin's genie look pasty by comparison. Then something miraculous happened. The water began to move. It started off as a few circular waves inside the glass, like somebody had just dropped in a pebble, but the tiny waves grew larger and larger until, finally, the liquid parted at the center of the cup and left a large, cylindrical hole that led to the bottom of the glass.
Holy fuck!
Leah said with a happy cackle.
Are you guys seeing this?
We are, Leah.
Janine grinned.
You're controlling the water. So, that's what Heket meant by her aquatic curse,
Naomi said as she rubbed her chin.
You can manipulate liquids. Now the question is, to what extent? Can you dry up whole lakes with these abilities, or are you restricted to simple glasses of water?
No clue!
The blonde shook her head, but a broad grin stretched across her face.
All I know is this is really fucking cool!
Could you imagine, love?
Ada whistled.
If you truly grow so powerful that you could control entire lakes and rivers and oceans.
I already control them.
Leah winked.
I'm Carter's representative, the master of the waters, remember? Now I just have a little more firepower to help remind people of my authority.
Before any of us could answer further, we heard a knock at the door, and we instantly went silent. Are we expecting anybody? I asked Ada, who just shrugged it off.
I can barely keep track of my own shoe closet, love. though I don't believe I had an appointment today.
I was hesitant to even open the door. For all I knew, this was an OLG cultist, and they would attempt to attack the second they saw my face. Even with the best-case scenario, it may have been a door-to-door salesman or somebody collecting money for a charity or something like that. I honestly didn't know which was worse, a salesman or a cultist. Still, I couldn't just do nothing. So I turned to the door of the club and then started off in that direction.
What are you doing, Carter?
Janine gasped. I'm gonna at least see who's out there. The last thing I want to do is turn away somebody who might need our help.
What if it's a trap?
I trust Naomi's hex. I'll just stay on this side of the door. That way, if they're truly an enemy, they won't be able to come inside anyways. When I finally got to the door, I popped it open ever so slightly, then leaned over so I could just barely see around it. There stood a short, stocky man with a gray blazer and charcoal dress pants that appeared to be straight off the rack. Each pant leg seemed to flare out at the very bottom, and the suit had one of the most unflattering fits I'd ever seen. The dude's brown hair was slicked back with what I assumed were gallons of hair product, and under his bulbous nose sat a tiny pencil mustache and a mouth with a large, buck-toothed grin.
"Good day to you, sir,"
the man proclaimed with a happy wave.
"My name is Trevor Bainey."
"Can I help you?" I asked in a somewhat defensive tone. "What are you doing on our property? We don't open till 5.
"This is going to sound quite strange," the man said. "But I wish to speak to the owner of this establishment, for I want to invest."
"Invest?" I raised an eyebrow. "I don't think Ada is interested. She's got all the money she could possibly need."
"Well, I doubt she has my branding prowess, though," the man argued. "Well, tell me, my boy, have you ever heard of a little company called Dell?"
"What? Are you trying to tell me you own Dell?"
"I don't own Dell," the man shook his head. "But I was one of the first to invest my multi-millions into its brand, and they tied my name to their company. Sales skyrocketed, and I know that is never a bad thing."
I was really, really skeptical of this guy. The timing seemed a little suspect, and I wondered if this was just a trap that had been arranged by the OLG to get me to come outside. Well, the joke's on him. I didn't have to go outside, but he almost certainly had to come in. "Come on in," I said, as I opened the door wider and motioned for the stocky guy to enter. "I'll put some coffee on, and we can all shoot the shit with the owner."
"Now, that is a plan!"
The man clapped his hands together and then started forward.
"Oh, I hope you have a dark roast, because—"
Zap! There was a small flash of white light, and then the stocky man stumbled backward, as if he'd just run face first into a wall. Because he had. He'd run right into Naomi's spell. "All right," I snarled, from the other side of my invisible barrier. "Who the fuck are you? Like, really?" The man's entire demeanor changed. His cheeks began to droop as his eyes narrowed, and a frustrated smirk twisted up the right side of his mouth. Then the fucker started to transform before my very eyes. The skin on his face drooped down and hung off his skeleton as if it were made of melting wax. At the same time, his stocky figure started to widen out and grew taller, until he stood about a foot above me. Then his flesh continued to shift as his body grew and took its final form. I didn't know who he was or what he was turning into, but he'd picked the wrong day to try and fuck with our new coven. I didn't care what he was. All I knew was he was as good as fucking dead.